even if we would like to avoid the idea of war, the world's eyes are on Ukraine now, and anxiety is high. As a retired CU Boulder professor emeritus of sociology, originally from Germany, what are your thoughts on the Russian invasion of Ukraine? What is most important for people in Colorado to understand?
Well, I think the Russian invasion of Ukraine is a crime against international law and world peace. And I also think it's a disastrous error from the point of view of Russia's own strategic interests. However, I do also think that the U.S. did a great deal to provoke the Russian attack and could have anticipated that their actions would eventually produce an aggressive response, which it did. This doesn't excuse the response, but it makes it clear that we have a considerable degree of responsibility, and we ought to reevaluate the behavior which led to the Russian attack.
There were steps taken before to get us where we are.
Yes, well, you know, there are a number of steps. I mean, the most crucial thing was the expansion of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, to the very borders of Russia. The agreement which was reached at the time when Germany was reunified and Russian troops were withdrawn from Eastern Europe was that NATO would not expand. That was an agreement which was necessary in order to get the Russian troops to leave Eastern Europe. But then in the 1990s, Russia was seriously weakened, and the U.S. decided to forget about that promise and expand the NATO to the first Poland, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, then Estonia, Lithuania, Latvia, Romania, and other countries as well. It needs to be indicated, however, that those countries wanted to be part of NATO because they feared the Russians. They've been under Russian dominations. They wanted some kind of protection against it. That's understandable, but it still is an error to have expanded NATO, in my opinion, because it doesn't give those countries more security, really. It just creates new lines of tension, which are likely to break forth in war. I think it's a terrible thing that Russia's done, but I think America could have anticipated that its behavior would make such a response likely.
So how can you compare and contrast with the Iron Curtain of the Cold War?
The Cold War was a long period of antagonism between the Soviet Union and the United States and its allies. There was no direct conflict between the Soviet Union and the United States, but there were a number of proxy wars, Vietnam being and Korea being the two most significant ones. And it was a huge waste of resources, military resources. We spent, we and the Soviets spent all kinds of funds on military activities, which could have been much better devoted to other uses. It created the continual danger of nuclear war, which I think many of us were frightened by in much of our lives. It was a very, very bad thing. And the Cold War was basically ended because of Soviet initiatives. Gorbachev is the main person who is responsible for ending the Cold War. Reagan went along with it, but Gorbachev was a real initiator. He wanted to do that because he realized that the Soviet Union needed to be democratized, that its economy needed to be changed, and that couldn't happen if they were devoting so much energy and wealth to military affairs. That also precluded the real democracy. You can't be a democracy if you're dominating countries the way that the Soviet Union dominated the countries of Eastern Europe. So I think it was imperative for Gorbachev's plans, efforts to democratize the Soviet Union and to change their economy into something more like a democratic socialism as opposed to a more state socialism, authoritarian socialism, that the Cold War be ended, and he deserves a huge amount of credit in my mind for having done so. That did not lead to a new kind of security arrangement, but the continuation of NATO. The Warsaw Pact was disbanded. NATO should have been disbanded also, and some new kind of arrangement which provided the security for all of Europe, including Russia, not directed against Russia, should have been constructed. This was, in my mind, the loss of a golden opportunity to change the history of the world, which was foreclosed largely because of U.S. responsibility. And when historians look at this epoch, I think they will be highly critical of the U.S. for muffing, for destroying this very valuable opportunity for world peace.
So what does it mean to be in fear of a nuclear war as we are facing now climate change?
Well, this conflict is a disaster for climate change for a number of reasons. For one thing, it increases the production of fossil fuels, and every kind of fossil fuel project which has been rejected in the future is back under consideration. It's going to destroy the international cooperation, which is absolutely essential if we're going to do something serious about climate change. Now, the problem is climate change is a slow-moving disaster, disastrous in 50 to 100 years, but its consequences now are relatively small. Therefore, they're easily ignored, especially by the countries of the mid-latitude. And therefore, this disaster is being encouraged. And it's much easier to react to something which you see right at your door than to even a much worse disaster if it's off by 50 to 100 years.
So difficult, especially for the young population, for the youth.
Studies show that there's a high degree of depression among younger people because of they feel their future is severely endangered, if not completely foreclosed, because of climate change to a large extent. And that's very sad. It has very severe consequences for mental health, among other things.
What is the stand or the actions our local Rocky Mountain Peace and Justice Center that you belong to taking to call an end or a de-escalation of the Ukraine invasion?
Well, we have proposed an immediate ceasefire with negotiations between Ukraine and Russia and the negotiation of an agreement which allows the security and the independence of both countries. And if that is agreement is adhered to, we think that no economic sanctions should be leveled against any country. There's a strong effort to punish Russia for what its aggression. I can understand that, but who has punished the United States for our aggression in Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, Syria, Libya, Yemen, and the like? I mean, the U.S. doesn't get punished, and so if we only punish the Russians, that's not justice, that's hypocrisy, and it will not lead to any diminution of warfare. It just will lead to anger at the so-called hypocrites.
There is also an action that you take here locally in Boulder. I have covered those moments of the Rocky Mountain Peace and Justice Center anti-war demonstrations that take place on Saturdays at 11 a.m. in Broadway and Canyon. You have been demonstrating there always. Is there going to be this weekend an event like that? And if you can also speak a little bit about this non-violent direct action art training that you're going to be offering for the youth and in general to everybody.
Yeah, I am one of the organizers of the demonstration of the weekly peace vigil, which we have. We have had a previous demonstration about the Ukraine, hoping to avoid the war before the war happened, I think in August, 3 weeks ago or so. We had a Zoom session also before the war. I have spoken to a Fort Collins group on behalf of the Peace Center about the Ukraine crisis. I am not directly involved in the nonviolence training sessions. I am more involved in policy directed against the occurrence of war and the ending it when it does occur. So I really couldn't talk too much about the nonviolence training.
For those who are listening to us, they know that on the corner of Canyon and Broadway at 11 on Saturdays, you can join an anti-war protest.
We'd be delighted to have. We usually have a sign which says climate action, not war. Now, we made that sign long before the present war, but it reflects our feeling very much that our priority should be on climate change, and we need to avoid war, both because war is disastrous, because war prevents us from dealing with the greater problem of climate change.
Professor, final thoughts.
You know, I feel the basic structure of an agreement between Russia and the Ukraine would need to be one where Russia withdraws its troops and compensates the Ukraine for the damage it's done and commits not to attack it again, and in exchange for the Ukraine agrees to remain politically neutral, to not join NATO, to acknowledge that Crimea is part of Russia, and to accept the autonomy, not the independence, of the Donbass region. I think that is the terms under which a end of this war might happen. I don't think if any of those terms are violated, it won't be a stable solution. And I feel that the proper course for the Ukraine is to negotiate, not to fight. They should offer a reasonable deal to the Russians in exchange for their withdrawal and compensation. And if they refuse to do that, they should not engage in violent resistance. They should engage in nonviolent resistance. Violent resistance will lead to the death, I don't know how many different Ukrainian people, and the destruction of numerous Ukrainian cities. That's not what is good for Ukraine. It's not good for Russia. It's not good for the world. And I feel that although the President Zelensky is a very courageous figure, I think he's sometimes carried away by his own heroism and his own sense of drama, and is giving up a reason. Reason says that the negotiated solution should be, every effort should be made to that, and violence shouldn't be kept up to the point where it leads to the killing of hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian people. Those are some of my final thoughts.
Thank you so much for your time. I have been speaking with sociologist, CU Boulder Professor Emeritus Tom Mayer about the unpredictable implications of Ukrainian invasion in our societies. Thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
For KGNU, I am Rosanna Longo-Better. Thank you.